Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday, and we hope you're having a great afternoon wherever you are, whatever you're doing. We hope you are safe, cool, and enjoying the day and enjoying the Saturday afternoon. I'm Paul Jamison, again with the Jamison family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. We have a loaded show today. This is about real estate. We're going to talk about your home, things important to it, and what's going on with it. We have Bailey Kirby with a Costner Law Firm on board with us today. She'll be coming up in the next segment. And of course, as we always do, the one, the only, Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage is here for our weekly mortgage update. Hey, Sandy.
Hello.
Good to see you. All right. So, folks, by the way, you know there are many, many ways to listen, including the radio, obviously. There's also a way to jump on the WBT website. All these shows are archived. You can download them and listen to them off of your phone, your computer, and just happy, happy. Or you can jump on our YouTube channel at Jamison Realty, and that's Jamison with an I, and all these shows are archived. You can look at how I flail around and jump up and down, and Sandy and Bailey always look so nice and polished. So, if you want to watch us that way, you can. However, if you do watch us on the YouTube channel, it's very, very different and obviously very fun because sometimes I forget to stop the record button and you hear funny things. So, anyway, that's enough about that. All right, what did I learn this week? What in the world did I learn this week? All right, so this week we learned that 36%, TJ, our producer sitting across from me, of American households are renters. 36%. Think of that opportunity, Sandy, in the mortgage business. You need to convert those people.
Yes, I do.
I'm saying 36%. That's a lot. Also, last night, I finished up a deal at the oh late hour. It was a multiple offer deal. It was a very nice piece of property in a very nice area with very nice educational options, so I understand. So it was in quite demand. By the end of the evening last night, my clients who are out of the country and I discussed in great length each and every offer in the order that they came in and the terms of each offer. And then we had a discussion about things other than the offer that are a part of the transaction. I bet you're sitting there wondering, wait a minute, what more than the offer would you discuss? Price, terms, closing date, how they're going to finance it. Let me tell you. There are two parts to the transaction that we did discuss because they asked me. And not only did they ask me on one part, the other part I do automatically. Sandy, are you ready for this? One part of the transaction is who are the lenders? who are the lenders? So we got all these offers. I vetted the lenders. Who are the lenders? Guess what? It made a huge difference in their decision. You're not going to believe how big of an important the lender is in the decision on whether or not they can execute. If you are presenting an offer in Charlotte with a lender that is in California or Texas, and the loan officer lives there, that's too far. That puts an arm's length transaction into the deal with some of these lenders that I'd never heard of. I couldn't even get in touch with some of them to verify the information on the letter. And we discussed the agents. One in particular that proceeded to try to run me over like a Mack truck. From the very beginning they submitted the offer to the very time we set the deadline. And I mean run me over. Now, as Sandy and many people that know me will tell you, I'm hard to run over. Because I'm almost 6'4", that does make it a little hard to make me a little more than a speed bump. But I put up with so much, and then I don't put up with any more. And if the transaction starts that way, TJ, what do you think is going to happen in the process? He said it isn't going to go well. Sandy, when you start out with a client and they're running you over, and how's the rest of it going to be?
It's going to be a lot of phone calls from me.
Yeah. So here's the point. I don't mind people being difficult. I don't mind people being a little bit of a challenge. But you start out running people over, calling the baby ugly, trying to make me push everybody else aside and break the rules so that your offer gets up to the front. All the different, I ain't doing it. Then on top of it, send me an offer that's not even completely filled out with the, it didn't even have the seller's name in it. Look, I'm a pretty patient guy. Everybody needs a chance to learn. But you got to get with it. And if you're dealing with somebody that wants to run you over, don't always take it. All right? Okay, Sandy, give us a mortgage update. I better stop and take a breath.
Okay, so housing starts are down 7%. But it doesn't mean the end of the world because they annualized they're going to be building about 1.5 million, which is pretty reasonable. We still have a lot of demand. Back in 06, they were building annualized about 2 million, but they just didn't have the demand. We have the demand now, so it's not such a worry. Builder confidence by the NAHB, they say that it's down from 80 to 75%. But that's natural considering the supply chains and the cost of building materials right now, which has gone up 13% over the past year. So the market is steady, and the rates are good, so it's a great time to buy. And he's right, we need to convert those renters, because guess what? Rents are up 7.5%.
Nationally, 11, it's over 11 here.
Yes, yes. Locally, it's much higher, so great time to buy. Rates are low. We have a lot of great products. And more stuff is going on the market. So it looks like you'll have some opportunities to purchase without so many multiple offers.
All right, Sandy, so quick trivia question for you. Right now, this July, year to date, we've got 56,000 homes that have gone on the market so far. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
When do you think the last time was that 56,000 homes went on the market?
2010.
That's exactly right. How did you know that?
I don't know how I knew that.
But that's exactly right. That number of homes has not been on the market since 2010. We do not have an inventory shortage. We have a shortage of homes left over that aren't that because everything's getting absorbed. That's what we have. All right. So how do people get you, Sandy?
704-577-0144. Just call me.
704-577-0144. Cross Country Mortgage. Call her. Thanks so much, Sandy. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned. We have more with Bailey Kirby, the Costner Law Firm, myself, Paul Jamison. The show, Your Real Estate Today, here on News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Hey, it's Saturday. The show, Your Real Estate Today, is on. Don't go anywhere because we're talking about real estate and with Bailey Kirby with the Costner Law Firm and myself, Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison Companies. That's Realty, Property Management, and Property Investments. Okay. Bailey, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you back. Yeah, good to have you back again. Your old hat now.
I'm a pro now.
That's exactly right. Yeah, excited to have you today. We're going to be talking a lot today with Bailey about surveys today. As a matter of fact, I'm having one done on my own house, and this will apply to what's happening to me. So right before we got on the air, I cornered Bailey and said, look, I want to talk about one thing before we launch into some of the things that you had sent today, which I love about surveys. The big million-dollar question, not million, let's call it a question, is can a survey be wrong? Can a survey be wrong? They're perfect, right? They use lasers and GPSs and like they draw with a number two pencil. I mean, they got to be right, right? They're perfect, right?
They can be wrong.
No, no, wait, hold on. That's impossible. They can't be wrong. They can't.
So surveys can be wrong. Rather, surveyors, you know, can make mistakes. It's an intricate process. A lot goes into drafting and making a survey. So yeah, they can be wrong. There can be mistakes on them.
Okay, so we got this wrong survey. And we know it's wrong survey. Well, you know, the argument would be, hey, when we get an appraisal we don't agree with or we say is wrong, the appraiser ain't going to do anything. Why is a surveyor going to do something? What do we do?
So, yeah, I mean, so the best thing to do if you think that there's a mistake on your survey is to first reach out to the surveyor. I've done that before for clients, and they will revise them. They will take a second look. They'll note something that maybe wasn't noted that should have been, and then you can dig deeper. We always check our surveys if we review one for a client against plat books, map books, making sure that they are consistent, that they are measuring the same as what the plat said.
Well, you know, many, many years ago, I had a farm in Western Kentucky. And when we sold off pieces of the farm, the actual description had things in it like, take 6 steps from the old oak stump, turn right and take, you know, 150 yards from the buggy spring. You know, so they used references 200 years ago that chances are may not still be there.
Yes, in that scenario, of course, we always recommend a new survey with to every buyer, to every client, but especially so if we know that prior legals are old. We will specifically reach out and let our clients know how old that that legal description is based on a very old survey,
right.
And recommend that they get a survey for the for the purchase.
There's a couple of ways that we can easily at least figure out if there might be a problem, right? You'd mentioned a couple of examples earlier. What were those?
So sometimes you can reach out to your surveyor, mm-hmm. and note something that you may have seen.
Right.
I see this fence, or the seller told me about this shed. And we can reach out to the surveyor, ask them to take another look, and we can reach out ourselves on the public record.
Yeah.
Get out there, look at flat books, map books,
right.
Look at the legal, talk to our reviewing title attorney, do some digging.
Yeah, and the neighbor too, right?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. You can collect a lot of information just from your seller and the neighboring properties.
Right. My neighbor actually had a recent survey of his place and emailed it over to me because I'm having a survey done. So I'll be able to compare that mm-hmm. side of my house because I noticed where they started putting pins and it didn't make any sense to me. So I'm interested to see what my neighbor's survey says so that I can compare those two things. What do you think of that idea?
I think that's a great idea. And I think that if for some reason there is a difference, the best thing to do is to reach out to both surveyors and let them know mm-hmm. What your concern is and see if they can kind of, again, look at it again and see if they can come to an agreement
right.
on what's going on that side of the property.
Sounds good. And just so people are aware, if you go to the GIS and you pull out a plat is not a survey.
Correct.
And should not be used as anything such to determine boundary lines. Would you agree with that comment?
I would absolutely agree. Things can change, especially GIS. It's not an accurate survey. Lines can often be off on mm-hmm. GIS. So mm-hmm. you'll want to order a survey for your transaction, even if you've pulled some things up on GIS and
right.
things of that nature.
Yeah, there is a software that I use on my phone. If I'm out with a client and I've actually found pins with it, but
mm-hmm.
again, it is not a survey. It is not 100% accurate. It is an application called LandGlide, LandGlide. It's about $15 a month. And what it will do is it takes your phone as a reference, as a beacon, and then you can call up. It'll show you the property lines and the corners so you can kind of walk and get a general reference from the ground as where and using a satellite image where certain reference points are. It's a pretty cool application, and it's pretty accurate, but again, things like that are still not a survey either, right?
Correct.
Right. All right. So in North Carolina, when you buy a house, is a survey required?
It is not. It is not required by law in North Carolina for purchase of a home. However, depending on what is dug up through our title work, there may be concerns that we will point out that the lender may have as well. Regarding title work, and then we would recommend a survey, or the lender may even require one to settle those matters prior to closing.
Okay, so we've established it's not required. Should I get one?
Absolutely. 100%. We recommend a new survey for every closing that we do here at Costner. It is on all of our emails. It is standard. And should always be ordered.
Right. And, you know, you've got in here in your notes, you always recommend it because it allows the buyer to address, you know, some concerns and other things, right?
Of course, yes. It gives you an opportunity as a buyer to know exactly what you're buying, for one, exactly where your money is going, how much property land you're getting. And then it also allows us to address anything that we may find, such as zoning violations, discovering encroachments on the property. So we can talk about that with our clients prior to the recording of that deed.
Yeah, the challenge, I think you know that practically, is surveyors are backed up 6 to 8 weeks. So you can't always get it done. Like right now, I'm having one done on our new property, and then I'm going to come back to Costner and have it attached to my title policy. But unfortunately, I couldn't get it done before. It was impossible. But I agree with you. I think it's something that we should have. And then when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about what would a survey tell you as a buyer, and how do you get one, and where do you get one, and just some really good information about what a survey will do for you. A small thing is a rich opportunity to protect yourself and to learn about your property. So Bailey Kirby with the Costner Law Firm, myself, Paul Jamison, spending Saturday with you talking real estate. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Welcome back. Hey, it's Saturday, and you're with me and us, Bailey Kirby with the Costner Law Firm, myself, Paul Jamison, your host of the show, Your Real Estate Today. Woo, we are so glad you are here and spending time with us, you know. I love talking about real estate, love talking about your property. And now, not only when we have this subject of surveys are we talking about your property, we're talking about the lines around your property and making sure that you protect yourself. And before the break, Bailey made us feel comfortable to know that a survey isn't required in North Carolina if you buy one, but helping us understand why we should get one. And so what does it really tell us?
So a survey tells you what you're buying. It tells you the exact description. It lays the lines down for you. It also has just some really practical reasons. If you want to put up a fence, if you want to do improvements on the property, a survey is going to be able to tell you where you can put that fence, where you can put any improvements. And then it discovers unknown encroachments that may exist on the property. That's things like your neighbor's fence on your property or your driveway on theirs, things that are going over those property lines that shouldn't be.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to go off the reservation for a minute.
Okay.
So you discover, because you listen to Bailey and Paul, that you get a survey. And your neighbor's fence is 6 inches onto your property line. And you didn't know it. What do you do?
So if this is before you've bought the house,
this is after.
You have a few after. Well, after, kind of one of those things where you have a deed with your name on it. The property is yours. If you did not have that survey done prior to purchasing the property, your title insurance policy is not going to cover that fence encroachment. Of course, you could, if you wanted that to be corrected, you could talk to the neighbor, see if they are willing to move it. If they're not and you want it removed, you could try taking it to court to see if that fence could be removed through court action. But when it comes to the ownership of that home, it's yours as is. When it comes to not having a survey done and your title insurance is not going to cover that.
Right. Many people talk about the fact that, Okay, well, the previous owner said it was fine. I've been taking care of what's around that fence for 21 years. And so that property, I've been cutting it, trimming it. You know, the neighbor knew about it, never bothered them. I should have a right to keep my fence there.
An excellent argument, sounding a lot like adverse possession claims, stating that you are, you should have that piece of property quiet titled to you because of the longevity and the use of that property. That is definitely a great question for a fact finder, a judge or jury, if that is an argument that you would want to make.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because many times I hear that argument. And, you know, there have been people that have legitimately had that argument, and there are people that have illegitimately had that argument.
Sure.
Like, it's so funny. I used to be a member of Pine Lake Country Club off of Lebanon Road in Mint Hill. And there are several houses along the golf course. And, of course, the golf course is owned by Pine Lake. And many people that, I don't know what happened here. We kind of lost our, let's see if we can get it. There we go. Many people have lost, have over the years put a bench onto the, close to the edge of the golf course. Then they planted some flowers onto the edge of the golf course. Then they planted some trees actually onto the golf course property. Then that bench moves a little bit farther. Oh, and then they put up a fence around that. Been, you know, and it's been there now for 21 years. There's an, you know, it's an interesting thing that we see happen quite a bit between neighbors and in certain situations. But ultimately, what I tell people, and I'm sure you do too, is if you come across an encroachment like that and you don't really want the neighbor to take their fence down and you want, and you're okay with it, but yet you want to protect yourself, I tell them, and tell me if this is right, I tell them to write a letter to the neighbor in writing that says, "Hello, neighbor. I'm Paul, and I understand from the survey that your fence is on my property. And at this stage, I'm not asking you to take it down, but I am letting you know that at some point I may ask you to do that. And I'm just wanting you to know and be acknowledged. And here's a copy of the survey to show you that your fence is on my property." What do you think of that?
Sure. I mean, that's great evidence that if for some reason there was a dispute down the road when you asked to have them move the fence and they didn't want to, it's great evidence if there were actions taken that, you know, this was not going to be a claim for adverse possession. If, of course, we are talking after a closing, but beforehand, if we find that fence through a survey, we actually can draft documents about permissive use. And there is specific language in those agreements that are signed between both properties that fence affects that say, this is a permissive use only and shall not be an adverse possession claim.
Right.
So we can do that.
Do you record that
in advance?
That agreement?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can someone give eternal permissive use?
So it can run with the land, meaning that any successors or purchasers of those properties will be bound to that permissive use agreement as well. So it can run with the land.
Hence, it would show up in a title search.
It would, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You could keep your fence here forever as long as you treat me nice and bake me pie.
Fair enough.
I like the baking pie part. Don't you? Once a year, you have to, you know, bring me an apple pie. Otherwise, all bets are off. The end. Ipso facto et al.
We'll make sure that's in there for you.
Okay. All right. So, do you order the survey as the closing attorney?
So it depends. It depends on the attorney. Here at Costner, we do not order them on behalf of clients, but we make sure very early on when we open the file that they know that and that we recommend that they hire a licensed surveyor for the transaction.
Right. I think you have a form, too, that has to be signed that says you didn't get no survey. So, just so you know.
Yes, we require information sheets.
That's right. Okay. All right. All right. So you want a survey, but you can't get one in time for due diligence like we talked about. What should you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really depends on the situation. If there's some reason that you really think that a survey is necessary for a property, if you see something, you know, from your neighbor or it's a very old property and you're not quite sure, I think that you should definitely try to talk to your seller first and see if you could amend the contract to extend due diligence, possibly just for the limited reason of a survey only. But of course, your due diligence time is the buyer's period to cancel for any reason or no reason. And if there is a very big concern, I think a buyer does need to consider the risk if due diligence is not extended and they can't get that survey in time and whether they're willing to take on that risk.
Right. So after the break, you're going to tell us what our options are after due diligence and there are survey concerns. And we're going to talk some more about that and so much more concerning your property, your real estate. I'm Paul Jamison with the Jamison Companies here with Bailey Kirby with the Costner Law Firm. More to come on the show, Your Real Estate Today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. The show, Your Real Estate Today, where guitar lessons and real estate come together. You still don't like it that I say that. He gives me such a look every time I'd love to learn how to play the guitar like that. I mean, it's only like four chords. I think I could do this. You know what? I think I could. If I could drive, I could do that. Absolutely. All right. So here with Bailey Kirby with the Costner Law Firm, myself, Paul Jamison, your host, talking about real estate in your home. So, you know, one of the things I wanted to make sure that we covered as it relates to the survey before we jump back into what you could do if you find issues with your survey is that if you are a seller, and you know that there are encroachments. You know that there are issues in property lines. You know that there is an easement or an abandoned road or a sewer easement line or a utility line easement or a driveway easement going through your property or the future of a road going through your property. That is what is called in my world and Bailey's world a material fact. A material fact is a fact that adversely affects the value of the property. Now, I'm sure Bailey could give you a much more eloquent definition, but bottom line, that's what it is. Okay? If you happen to know about that, let me give you an example of something that happened to me personally. I used to live on a piece of property that the only way to get to it was through two other pieces of property. And there was an easement. And there was an asphalt driveway that wound through the first and second owner's property to access my property. The day of closing, get this, Bailey, the day of closing, we got the survey back. And the attorney said, oh, by the way, your driveway does not fit perfectly on the easement. It goes over the lines. In some cases, 1 to 2 feet. And in some cases, one area was 6 feet. So now I got a driveway paved, blacktopped, in a house I'm buying that isn't in the easement. So I was forced, I always have a choice. I chose, at the advice of the attorney, to move forward. Now, over the years, getting to know those neighbors, I was able to redraw the lines and resurvey the property. It only cost a couple of pies. But we were able to get it fixed because I knew at some point I either had to move the driveway or I had to redraw the lines. So it really does happen, and it really does affect it. And the seller knew it and never told me. And, you know, could I have walked away from the whole deal? Sure. But we chose to take a different path after consulting the attorney. And we moved forward, and it worked out. But it doesn't always work out, does it?
Not always.
Yeah, because I knew my worst case, I would have had to move the driveway. And I kind of estimated in my head what that would cost versus walking away. And I made the choice.
Right.
Sometimes you can't. Yeah. All right, so if I get a survey back after the due diligence and I have concern about it, what are my options? Kind of like what we just talked about, right?
Yeah, so it really depends. I think the first question is, what did the survey show? Was it minor? Is it major? For example, I have seen a survey where a single fence post was a few inches over the property line. Of course, I told the clients about it and explained, you know, if they're comfortable moving forward, especially if it's considered minor, then that's what we will do. Once we have fully disclosed the findings on the survey, you can feel comfortable and do nothing. You can talk to your sellers prior to recording to see if they are willing to work on that, correcting that encroachment prior to closing. And ultimately, if we could reach out to your title insurance company to see if we can get some affirmative coverage. It really just depends on the type of encroachment that we're looking at. And ultimately, if it's major, there could be an argument that the title is unmarketable, that the encroachment is so major that it affects the marketability of the property, which could possibly, even outside of due diligence period, could survive due diligence period as a way out for the buyer.
That's right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The situation that I shared, you know, I see it too, where if you have a property line and there's a tree that splits the property line, which way do you take the fence? Right?
Right.
You know, and so sometimes, you know, you have a cordial neighbor and you can move in their direction, or a not cordial neighbor and you move in your direction. But, you know, there's so many different ways that this topic comes up, right? Even overhangs, right? Not just actually on the ground, but if a roof overhangs a property line, which you see a lot in the uptown area, don't you?
Yeah, the smaller the lots, closer structures maybe to each other, closer to that property line, setbacks maybe really, really small. So you might see some things actually in the air of your property rather than on the ground.
Right. One of the most recent cases that I've dealt with was actually a tree. And the branch, the tree itself, was on the neighbor's property, the big honking rotten branch hung over my client's property. Interesting case to come up against, is it not?
It is. They're actually in law school. we briefly talk about trees because it's a whole thing, and we call it tree law. There are a lot of laws about trees, maintaining them, and when they split properties.
Yeah. And who has the right to cut what over their property line, right? And Mecklenburg County has some odd rules, and I don't know if it's true everywhere, but also if the tree is in the neighbor's yard and falls into your yard, you're responsible for what falls in your yard, not your neighbor. That ain't happy. You know, I just hope you have a good neighbor that takes care of it anyway, right?
And makes pies.
Yes, we like the pie thing. So 1-800, make a pie. All right. What else did you want to share about surveys before we wrap up today?
I review a lot of surveys here, and I think that it ultimately comes down to really making it a priority to get one, even though I know that the market is really hot right now and contracts to closing are getting shorter and shorter. Surveyor wait times are getting longer and longer. But, of course, if a buyer feels comfortable without one, that's fine. But if you have a concern, try to make it a priority.
If you want to talk surveys or anything else having to do with your real estate from a legal perspective, Bailey, who do they call and how?
You can call me at 704-717-5348.
All right, 704-737-5348, correct?
717, yeah.
All right, 717. All right, Bailey Kirby with the Costner Law Firm. If you want to reach us, if you're interested in buying, selling, investing, or having properties managed, 704-846-DONE, 704-846-3663, or on the web at myjamesonhomes.com. Have a great Saturday. Thanks for spending it with us. And we'll talk to you next week on the show Your Real Estate Today here on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. And God bless.